Would you please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Whatever God has for you, it is good. Amen? Have you ever felt this way? You're doing everything within your power to please God in your life. And then all of a sudden, bad things happen. It's like you just felt kicking your teeth. Then you're thinking, how can the things go anything worse than now? Wouldn't you know, it just happened right in front of your eyes, and it seems like the turmoil happened further down, dragging you down. You realize that the whole situation is completely out of your control and out of your hand. So you surrender yourself to the Lord in prayer. And you cry out to Him from the bottom of your desperate heart. Nothing has changed. But deep within your heart, there is that peace. That peace, that's something you cannot buy off the shelf. The peace that you don't know how is working, but somehow things are going to work out. You have no earthly means to solve the problem, and you don't know when it's going to work it out, but somehow you just know it's going to work out. Not because you can do anything, but you know one who can do all things. God is good and God is faithful. He never let you down all these times, and He will not let you down again. Does that describe you, your current situation, or maybe the situation you will be in, or you previously? Yeah, I think I just described everybody's situation. Apostle Paul and his missionary team arrived in Philippi. This place is one of the Roman colonies, and it's Rome away from Rome. It's a very The city is filled with the pagan idols and the proud worshippers. The Lord was about to turn this place right side up with a handful of workers, Paul and his missionary team. They started with their first convert, European convert, Lydia, woman. She's the name, Lydia, and she's from another city, and she's a purple dye seller. This morning, we are going to have several topics to cover. First, start with the demon possession and combating with the demon, combating against the demonic forces, overcoming difficulties, and praise in the midst of pain, and simple faith in Jesus Christ. But we are going to concentrate on the one particular topic, praise in the midst of pain. Let's start with a prayer by seeking the Lord's face. Father, we all go through difficult times one way or another. Some of us learned that to trust you, some of us haven't learned that yet. And whenever difficult situation come along, some of us panic and wondering how can we do this. But if we truly look at the situation, we have to realize that nothing is impossible for our God. So, Father, we are asking you we may be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of you, Father, fully pleasing you, and being fruitful in every good work, because we learn from you. Father, we are asking you, will be done in our lives. Father, we also pray that your anointing be upon our heart and the one who speak, that he may speak your word, not his own. And please forgive our sins. Father, we also pray for President Obama that he may turn his heart to you, become born-again Christian. And we also pray for our uniform the personnel, our troops, law enforcement personnel and firefighters, wherever they are, especially the one in the harm's way. And we're asking you to be their backups. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16 of chapter 16, please. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that certain slave girl possessed by the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, and who proclaims to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, I can see that, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." He came out of that very hour. But when her master saw that their hopes of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Listen to me, please. All of fortune-telling, psychic, horoscope, tarot card, and crystal ball reading, they are all demonic. Did you get that? Don't ever, ever think that you can dabble with that. Just as this girl was getting a knowledge from demonic spirit, though the person who is doing this kind of thing, fortune teller or the psychic reader or card reader, whatever they are, they may not know the client at all. But demon can give what this client has been doing and what they are looking for before they open their mouth. This fortune teller will say it, all of a sudden that fortune teller's credibility just go real high. And remember, demons knows our behavior very well, especially the unbelievers, because they control them. So they can predict and guess their human behavior and even concoct a few things to what's going to happen. Somehow, many American Christians nowadays think that demon possession is a thing of the past. No, not so. We will be surprised at how many people are possessed by the demons if we get to have our spiritual eyes opened. And they are controlled by them. And they may not have a weird behavior or weird voice, like you would see in the Hollywood movies. But they are controlled by them. As a matter of fact, about 20 years ago, when Karen and I were involved in a home mission church in downtown Tucson in the homeless ministry, we encountered demon-possessed people left and right. Almost every Sunday, almost every Wednesday when we had the services there. Paul did not care for the free advertising by his demon-possessed girl. Besides, the statement she made was inaccurate. Go back to there, please, verse 17. She said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Is that true? Yes. "Who proclaim to us the way of salvation." In English, it sounds okay. They didn't care for the free advertisement from the demonic forces. However, when you look at it in Greek word, it is very different. The word, the way, is supposed to be translated hadas. Okay, hadas itself is a way. Okay? A way, not the way. And you may say, what's the Greek word that Jesus used in John 14:6? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it says in Greek word, ego aimi ha hadas. Ego aimi means I am. Ha is the. Did you get that? And hadas, a way. What Jesus is saying, I am the way, only way, not one of the many ways. Here she is saying, by leaving that heart, that article, definite article out, she's making as indefinite, that means inclusive, one of the many ways. Are you following me so far? And you're thinking, oh, it all sounds like a Greek. Yes, it is a Greek. That's the point. By leaving that simple, definite article, she's trying to make everything is one of the many ways. It is no wonder Paul was greatly annoyed. Verse 20, please. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, this man being Jews, note that word, exceedingly troubled our city. Not really. And they teach the customs which are not lawful for us, being women, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and magistrate tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with the rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Driven by the loss of income from no longer demon-possessed girl and the racial prejudice, did you notice that being Jews and their occult desire, the master of these slave girls had Paul and Silas arrested and beaten. In the Roman Empire, there are two types of laws. One for the Roman citizen. The other for non-Roman citizens. For the Roman citizen, they have a very specific and jealously guarded civil rights. However, for the non-Roman citizen, they can be at the mercy of the whims of multitude or magistrate. This is a case in point. They did this because multitude and the magistrate, they treated them harshly because they assumed, remember, being Jews, they assumed that these are not the Roman citizens. Jewish legal punishment, the tradition, gave the maximum amount punishment they can get. 40 minus 1. That means you cannot hit the prisoner more than 39 times. However, Romans did not have that kind of thing. There is no limit. They beat the snot out of the prisoners until that prisoner either pass out, confess, or die. Do they give them Miranda right? What's the Miranda right to the Roman people? They don't care. ACLU never heard of them. They can treat these prisoners however they want. Let's see what happened to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 23. Paul speaking, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. He couldn't even count how many stripes he beaten with the rod. In prison more frequently, in death often. Usually this kind, the stock that he was fastened, had several holes. Depending on the mood of the jailkeeper, if he wants to be nice, he will keep the stock feet together close by. If they don't like them, they spread as far as they can. You can push your limit so far, and his joint will start to hurt you, especially when you're, we all know that, remember, old people, right? Our joint hurts. Think about it. When you have to spread your leg so far out, pretty soon your pain is so severe on your joint, your legs become numb. But even in their pain, God was not far from Paul and Silas. Though their legs felt nothing in the stock, their hearts were in the heaven with the Lord. Amen? Verse 25. At the midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They are having a worship concert there. The prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keepers of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for the light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who are in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set the food before them. He rejoiced in having believed in God with all his household. Great, isn't it? Instead of complaining or calling out to God to destroy their enemies or being bitter toward God himself for putting them into this kind of situation, even though they are working for him, these two men prayed and praised God. And you may say, "Hey, get it right, preacher. I'm not a Paul. I'm not Silas. I cannot do that because my pain is real." If you have that in mind, I have two questions to ask you. Number one, do you think that these two godly men knew that God is going to set them free as soon as they finish the song? No, they had no idea what's going to happen to them. And they only knew that God is good and faithful no matter what. As a matter of fact, they could be executed. Remember what I said. These magistrates thought that they were the non-Roman Jews. They could kill them without any consequences. How easy? By doing this. Simply flipping thumbs down, their heads going to be lobbed off their shoulder. It's that simple. Did they know what's going to happen? No idea, but they still praised the Lord. Second question to ask. Do you think that the pain on their backs and their legs are gone and maybe make believe? Pains are real. Beaten up by the rod is real. It's horrible pain. How do I know? Because I was the receiving end of the beating with the rod. And you are thinking, "Oh, you're making up." No. I was in the South Korean army where the beating subordinate was normal, encouraged. It's one way to telling somebody do something. They start with the beating. You've been in the American army, you have no idea what it's like. Listen, when you are in pain, in the middle of the darkest hour, is not the easiest time for a worship concert. But God gives us the songs in the night. Go to our memory verse, Psalm 42, please. Psalm 42, verse 8. You might be in this darkest hour right now with whatever situation you have. Out of this many people in this room, we all have a different situation. You might be in that darkest hour. Listen to this. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I like the way the Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great British preacher, said, "Any fool can sing in the day. It's easy to sing when we can read the notes by daylight. But the skillful singer is he who can sing when there is not a ray of light to read by. Song in the night come only from God. They are not in the power of man." You see, prayer and praise to God are powerful. powerful weapons against despair and depression. Singing praise to the Lord is a tremendous way to alter our attitude and bring glory to God. Next time when you are down and out in despair and depression, try this. Like what we sang, draw me closer to you. Whatever the song, if you don't remember, maybe you remember, Jesus loves me, this I know. Do you remember that song, that simple song? For the Bible tell me so. That sing that song with all your heart to Him. See how fast your attitude gets changed. By doing so, we get to have a right perspective from Him, and the songs remind us who God is, and we take our eyes off from the current situation to the Lord who can do what? All things. Amen? I believe that Paul and Silas' praise song were far better than Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock. And as soon as I said the Jailhouse Rock, some of you guys do remember that song lyrics. If you do, you just stayed yourself. God responds to their praise songs with their toe tapping, knee slapping, and hand clapping. Maybe he did a little too loud. All of a sudden, an earthquake happened. That caused an earthquake and they flung the door, all the doors open, chains got loosened. They could have fled from the jail, but immediately Paul took command. And for one thing, he had one thing in his mind. It was not his own freedom, but the love for this man, the jailer. Circumstance says escape, but the love said stay for the sake of this soul. Paul and Silas were not guided by the merely circumstance, but guided by the love that compelled them to stay. This hardened jailkeeper were more affected by the love of God through them than the earthquake itself. He was more shaken. And these two godly men showed the love of God to him. So let me put it this way. The jailer was so impressed by the Paul and Silas. And the way they can take the joy even in the misery. That he instantly wanted to have the kinds of life that Paul and Silas have. This is how the God wants our lives to be. Natural magnet to draw people to the Lord. Instead of telling people how to be saved with your mouth only and your life that does not back up, how about your life speak so loud that people don't even have to listen to your voice? How about that kind of evangelism? When the people around you see your joy of the Lord, which is your strength in the midst of pain, they want what you have in the Lord. Amen? So what this jailer said, what must I do to be saved? That is the cry of the lost people around the world. We better be able to give them the right answer. The legalist in the church would say, join our church membership. Or they will say, baptized by our church, our denomination. Or speaking in tongues, do this, do that. No. What did the Apostle Paul said? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. A simple faith in Jesus Christ. Have you prayed for the deliverance from something that is weakened or hurt you? But deliverance hasn't come? Have you ever felt that way? You've been praying for many days, many weeks, many months, many years. The answer never came. Remember, God's grace is sufficient for you. I know it sounds like a Bible cliche. It is. And a lot of good, well-meaning people throw that Bible verse to somebody who is hurting. And sometimes it sounds so callous, but that is true. God can transform your limitation into your heavenly advantage. Think about it. These two guys, they are stuck in this, excuse my language, hellhole, literally. And you may say, why would you call it hellhole? Because remember, previous prisoner was fastened into that stock. And you cannot really say, guard, may I go pee-pee? They will not take you to pee-pee. You go pee-pee there and poo-poo there. Sanitary is not their concern. So think about it. This is the inner dungeon. They don't care about the prisoners. The last thing they had in mind is taking care of the prisoners. In that situation, and you don't know whether you're going to live to see another daylight or not. But they praised the Lord. And to them, God's grace was sufficient for that moment. And God used that for heavenly advantage. Get this, guys. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, that is God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen. Our weakness is a blessing when we lean on God's strength. One thing I must point out before we go to the next passage here. Paul mentioned that the jailer and his household will be saved by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true? Yes, that is true. But does it mean that guiding us to the household salvation? No, it is not. It has no biblical basis. Nor should we read into the statement for the salvation of infants, with or without baptism of the infant. Infant must grow up to make individual choice to whether receive Jesus Christ into one's heart or reject Jesus Christ. And same thing with the baptism. That's why we do not believe in infant baptism. I know a lot of people go through the length of the ceremony to do that kind of thing. Go down to verse 35, please. And when it was day, that the magistrate sent the officers saying, let those men go. So the keepers of prison reported this word to Paul, saying, magistrate have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart, go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly on condemned Romans and have thrown us into prison. Now, do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told this word to the magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So why did Paul and Silas did not leave the town immediately, quietly, when they were released from the jail? Because if they left quietly, it would bring a lot of suspicion, cloud of suspicion to this infant church from the unbelieving people in Philippi. That's why they stayed and make sure that these officials would not harm this infant church. Three applications. Number one. The difficult situation you are in right now is permitted by the Lord to mature you, to strengthen you, to raise you above. So keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. There's a reason why God is allowing you to go through what you are going through. Even if you are the one who made that mess, God will use that to train you. Second application, Prayer and praise to God are powerful weapons against despair and depression. When you are in despair next time, it might be 5 minutes from now, start to praise God with the songs. See what happens. Third application. Our weakness is a blessing when we lean on God's strength. Amen.